Hello there. The following episode contains audio issues from one of our guests. Unfortunately, we did not know this at the time, so we've tried to do something to rectify it and make it slightly more comical. This should only happen once or twice. Please enjoy.
That's no moon.
Hello there, and welcome to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. I believe this is episode 37. I should check every time I record it, but it feels like I record every 2 weeks that numbers just blur into one. My name is Cockles, I'm your host, and I'm this week, well, there's not one, not two, not three, but there are four of us. Most of us speak perfect English. I'll let you decide which one doesn't. First off, I will introduce the man on the left of my screen who is... well, you know him affectionately as Andy Terrell. We know him as a man who eats dogs.
Hiya.
Why is it that you sort of sounded a little bit like Mr. Bean then? I went, hiya. What's going on there?
I don't know. It's just concede into the nickname, really. It's just, I don't know. It's been going a while, but it's just...
we all have our lots in life, and this is where you have just settled into your one there.
It's just a burden I have to bear, one I'm willing to burden.
shouldn't scram dogs then, should you? You wouldn't get the nickname.
Talking of other people,
point now, though, it started to the point where I'm now sending like Instagram reels to Ollie about anything that is about eating dog related and stuff. Like there's Chinese like memes and stuff, and I just go, "Yep, got to send that to Ollie."
Do you sign off emails like yours faithfully, Dog Eating Andy,
Dog Eating World,
www.ieatdogsforaliving.com.
It's when he hears phrases in a film. It's when he hears the phrases in that film, says it's a dog eat world, dog eat dog world out there, and he goes, "Actually, I think you find it's a human eat dog world."
What, one of my list names was "It's an Andy eat dog world out there."
See, most people.
Moving on, so I'll introduce the next one who spoke. He we can only refer to him as Champ at the moment, but given. I'm wondering how long that'll take to wear off, but I don't think it will. And to be fair, if I'd won the World Championships, it wouldn't wear off on me either. So here he is, the posh boy from a private school who won the World Championships. Who says that private schools don't get you anywhere? Ollie Dyer.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for that, Squire. You're relieved of your duties now, Cockles.
Thank you, my lord.
Anything more, my lord? Anything else I can do for you?
My lord?
Yes, well, with that accent, you've nicely segued into... We have two guests on the show. Both of whom haven't been on the show, although one of whom you've heard his voice through our YouTube channel plenty of... on multiple hours, because at the Elf... not LVO, excuse me. That's later. Because at Worlds, he was my brother from another mother, because... He is Zane Ferguson. Hot and frosty on the Discord. How are you doing?
But I hadn't been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? But I hadn't been forgotten,
Joe. Yeah, man. We had John on, and it was like, it's not the same. I mean, I'd like to have all of us together would be like that, because then I can hear, like, I just shut my eyes and like, take me back. I hear all the voices, and again, as I said earlier, it's like if I'd planned earlier, I'd have some sort of funky introduction music for you. Being from Texas, I'd try and find something along like "Hee-haw, cowboy!" I don't know, or just some sort of get Skip Bayless going, "How about them cowboys?" or something like that, which only a couple of people are going to get as a reference at the moment. But there we go. That's all good. Moving on, and the last person I'm going to introduce, I'm actually going to play a role reversal on this one, because in the very first show, I introduced Andy, or one of the very first shows, I introduced Andy as the UK's version of LJ. But in this case, I'm going to introduce LJ as the United States version of Andy. So welcome, Mr. LJ Pena. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm excited to come on and chat with you guys today.
Those of you who don't know, if you are unfamiliar, LJ is Talk Polite not just in life, but on Discord. So yeah, that's if you go and you go, ah, okay, yeah, that's him. So you see him with the special purple color that he gets on Discord because he is the Senate and all this sorts of stuff. Welcome, LJ. How are you doing?
I am great. It's been a very busy couple of weeks because I'm about to head off into the Florida sunset here in a bit, and just kind of getting ready for the next journey after getting back home.
Yeah, we're saying that obviously Florida is not your native state. Your native state is California. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Yes.
And now in my head, I'm going to have for a little while California love. That's going in my head now. So that's cool. All will be revealed as to why you're on the show. Zane's here because, well, he's not here now. He's just dropped out. But Zane will be here. Zane's here because he was like, hey, I'm free. Can I join? Because he missed out on joining last time when we had John on and that sort of stuff, as in Bushfacts. You're here for a special reason. And weirdly, we've had news incoming today in literally what was about an hour and a half ago from recording, about an hour ago, other stuff going on as well. So altogether, it's today shall be an informative show. So here we go. First off, though, thank yous to our faithful, loyal Patreon army, without you, of which many of the podcast stuff can't happen. And yeah, the videos that Tom and Jack do on YouTube and stuff gives them the time to be able to do that. First off, obviously, apologies from Jack. He is busy preventing floods, and Tom, I believe, is skiing. I think the snowboarders call him a prick with a stick. Is that correct? Something like that. Is that
he's skiing? Yeah, but I've heard he's skiing. I think that's what he went for, right?
Yes, yeah, definitely was skiing. Yeah. It was definitely it. But he said
I heard it was skiing specifically.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't like. I think he said he refers to like the snowboarders, Muppets on trays, that sort of thing. But he's definitely skiing. I don't know where, but he sent us a picture yesterday. He was in a bar and he was above everyone else. So he said, "Oh, you've got the high ground," and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, good luck to him there. But anyway, thank you to the Patreon supporters, which we can't do without you guys. We look forward to seeing you in our Patreon play day in, I want to say July. Yeah, early July, of which Ollie, Jack, Tom and myself, Andy can't because he is, he's at a football presentation, soccer presentation.
Dog eating contest.
He's at a dog eating contest, crafts, something like that. So
I'm spinning on, man.
Sorry. Important day in the diary for the canine connoisseur. Yeah, so he's doing that. We're doing that. So the other four of us will be there playing games. We've had two people sign up to play us each as well, which is awesome. So there's some spaces left. I think Killy has taken up a couple of games. There's still a couple of games. If you want to play and you're one of our Patreon supporters, cockles at thatsnomoonpodcast.com, and you can book yourself a game or two or three, depending on how your availability and how we're set up. There are half the spaces left, just about. So that's all good. But moving on. So as I said, today, a day of information. So, it's all happened in the past week and a half, 2 weeks, isn't it, really? So, first off, LJ, the reason you're here, I'm just going to let you explain it because you'll explain it better than myself and I will get facts wrong. So, why are you here, LJ?
So, I'm here to talk about the Las Vegas Open Invitational Series. It is a new, but not necessarily new to the world thing that we unveiled recently. We, a couple years ago, had talked to Frontline Gaming and Tyson, who runs the Marvel Crisis Protocol side of the LVOIS, and wanted to do, you know, they'd wanted to do something where we could run an invitational through the already existing framework of Frontline Gaming and all the events that they do within the United States. And I, at the time, I had basically told them no, because I wanted to see kind of where AMGOP went, but also I knew I had this deployment coming up that I just got back from. And so I kind of held off on that to kind of see how the situation would develop. And then as of, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I got back home and it kind of felt like the time was right. I had joined up with Jordan from Luminous Gaming to kind of take on what he called special projects. And this was kind of the first one that I decided I would pursue. And so we went back to Tyson. We're like, hey, we think it's time. We're good to go. And we decided to start To start running this thing. So last week, about a week ago now, we unveiled our system to the world. Basically, what the LVOIS does is it provides a set of guidelines for running an event. If you're a tournament organizer that is new to running Legion events, but maybe you get that store kit and you want to run something in your area, but you know you're not really sure how Legion handles things like slow play or you know maybe different elements of running a Legion event specifically, then this provides a set of guidelines for those types of people. On top of that, it also provides kind of an extra opportunity for us to bolster existing events by offering what are called full qualifiers and points only events. Full qualifiers get you a spot to the LVO Invitational in January 2025, and points only events earn you points that you also get by attending full qualifiers. And when we're getting close to the end of the season and I'm trying to fill the last couple spots, then I'm going down that list and I'm inviting people and giving them the chance to go to the Las Vegas Open. So what we're really doing is we're creating an invitational system that's using framework that already exists within Atomic Mass Games system. It's not meant to go against what AMG is doing. It's actually meant to complement it and drive not only store-level events throughout the course of a year, but also give a reason for people to go to some of these larger events because they could compete for an invite at the Las Vegas Open, and then also try to grow and tie into the international community. You know, I was a little concerned at first when I saw the I Eat Dogs Open submitted here a couple days ago. But when I saw it was Andy, I was like, okay, cool. That's good. He's just trying to get the, you know, the local scene involved over there across the pond, as it were. So we've actually looped in several different international community leaders out of the 50 events that I've approved so far. We just hit 50 yesterday, which is awesome. There were about 15 or so that were international events that were outside of North America, which is really cool to see that kind of buy-in from the community already and that kind of faith put in us, and be able to provide, again, an invitational style event where people can earn invites throughout the year, have something to work towards, no matter what state the game is in or their local scene or whatever, and then come to LVO, participate in that, which has always been a fantastic event every year, and, you know, have a great time.
So, obviously, you mentioned there's the way to qualify is obviously you can either get a free, it's not flights and free kind of thing, but you're guaranteed a spot from certain events, and then there's other ones where you earn points. The way the points is calculated, is it like if I go to 20 events, do I have a better chance than someone who only goes to two or three, or is it still kind of a little bit up in the air because you're not quite sure?
So just by volume of events and percent chances, you would in that specific example. But the way it works is you earn points if you get anywhere from first to eighth place at an official event. If your event is 48 players or more, it's 8 to 16. So it goes a little deeper the bigger your event is. But you basically earn more points the higher you place within that top 8 or top 16. And then we take the best three scores that you have earned, and that's what actually puts you on that scale. So if you go to three events, but you place, you know, second, and third, and the other person goes to 20 events, but they don't have any placements except for maybe like a seventh and an eighth place, that person that only went to three events will probably have a higher score because they had a higher quality placements within those top three events that they went to. So it doesn't necessarily mean if you travel to 20 events, you're guaranteed a spot, but it does mean that, like, well, maybe I had a second place finish and a first place finish, but I really want to improve my third highest score. So I'm going to go to another points event because I want to try to score higher points and, you know, get myself up there a little bit more and up on that ladder. There's no point number you're trying to hit. it's you against everybody else that has earned points. So there is going to be a little bit of element throughout the year of, well, I did really well, and I feel like even though I didn't win an invite-only event, I have enough points to qualify when LJ starts looking to fill spots. But then, you know, there's an incentive for you to still go in October, November, December, and try to attend a points-only event because you're trying to hit that, you know, that number one or number two placement that'll really lock you in on top of that points list.
Nice. Yeah, no, I think that's good. It's kind of helping the people who can't go to all the events and the ones who can go to lots. So they can keep going, and there's an incentive, because I think that's always a drive for competitive players, especially for people like myself and Ollie. Like, we always want to get something out of these events. So if you finish in, let's say, first in a 20-man event, so obviously it'd be the top 8 from that, and first in a 40-man event where it'd be the top 16, you said, isn't it? Is there a weighting better for that? So the person who finishes first in the 40-man event, it's slightly better for them, like when scoring these points, or is it they've scored first, that's it kind of thing?
So there are a couple different brackets. There's 15 and below, 16 to 22, 23 to 47, 48 to 68, and then 68 and above, or 69 and above, essentially. And they do have weights to them. So a first place finish at a 16 to 22 player points event would earn you 16 points. A first place finish at a 23 to 47 player event would earn you 20 points. So if you come in first or second at an event with more people, it does give you a greater number of total points. And then there also is kind of a secondary value there, because the system does use a decimal system. So you have your, you know, 20 points that you get, and then it's going to be 0.23 points because 23 people showed up to that event. And so there is also a bit of a tiebreaker mechanic there. So if, like, Cockles had 60 points and Ollie had 60 points, for some strange reason, I know that would never happen, but Ollie had, you know, gone to larger events, then his score he would have the tiebreaker there, as it were, because he got his wins at events that had more players. So it does reward people for going to bigger events, but it also, you'll see when you look at, like, the points breakdown, which is all on the LVOIS website in the event rules, you can kind of see how they're meant to not be so great that if you're somebody that can only go to smaller, like, local level events, you're not screwed, is kind of the bottom line. And that actually ties into our methodology as well for how we've been awarding full qualifiers, because that's one of the first questions I usually see people ask is, like, well, I have an 8-person local event, can it be a full qualifier? And the answer at the end of the day is yes, it is a full qualifier if you submit it and we approve it. So you won't necessarily have to worry about, like, well, I said I was going to be able to do 20 people, only 14 showed, do we lose our invite, does that person not get to go anymore? No. If we award you a full qualifier, you get it. And so I think that'll help create some balance between the larger events that are going to award more points and giving out as many invites as we can to events that might be, you know, that middle to lower level attendance rate, and then still get representation from smaller communities, as well as the people that have the pleasure of traveling all over the place and going to a lot of events and stuff like that.
That's good. I mean, I'm for it. I think from a community point of view, I think it's great. I think it will drive non-competitive as well as competitive people. Like, for all of the UK events, which are 2 days that I'm running, I've signed them all up. So if someone does have the opportunity to go to Vegas and you've accumulated enough points, then you're already part of it, as in the UK kind of side of things. My monthly events, it's every 3 months I can apply for them, isn't it? So, because they're held in the same location. Mm-hmm. So they'd be a part of it as well, to get you points as well. So as I say, if it turns out Dave Grant or myself or anyone wants to go to Vegas, as long as you're going to UK events, then you'll be qualifying for points just by turning up to them. And I think that's probably the best approach to do it from a community point of view. And I encourage other TOs in the UK to also jump on board of it. Just on the off chance that your players do want to go, like I want to go to Vegas, I want to go to Vegas and I want to go to LVO. So the two kind of go hand in hand, luckily. So I'm going to try and go for my 40th. Thanks, Louisa. But the year that I'm going to qualify for that, I'll try and put in extra effort and go to these events, which score me the points for it. And I think that's a good objective to have, because a lot of people will try and do that and experience these events. So it's a good drive.
Yeah, and I think the system is built in a way that there's really no additional load on the event runner. You have to fill out a Google form to have it be added to the system. And then when your event is done, you fill out a second Google form. There are other things or suggestions we've made within the LVOIS guidelines as far as like what tournament software you might want to use or what are some additional rules you can try out. Have you wanted to do chess clocks in your top cut? Like what are some rules you could do if you wanted to do that, for example? But none of that is actually mandatory. It's very much meant to be like, hey, run your events, apply to be part of this system. And like you said, if your players want to go to this event, they will earn points towards it. And if they don't go to the event or they just want to play the games and it happens to be an LVOIS event, then that's cool too. You know, it's not meant to specifically go against anything anybody else is doing. And that's very much by design. And I really appreciate that was how Tyson had built this system for Marvel Crisis Protocol. And I think it works extremely well in a Legion sense, because he did a lot of what he did because MCP didn't have a lot of standardization or guidelines or whatever. However, we already have that because we have great TOs like yourself to put in a lot of work.
How many, I know you said from different nations, can you be more specific in what nations have joined? Are we talking the Netherlands, Germany, Poland, Spain, Italy? Where are we going? Have I missed anywhere? Denmark?
I've received invitationals from the UK, from Germany, from Canada. I had a Chile one that I approved, Chile that I approved last night. There are two German ones on the schedule. I've also talked to the Italian, French, and Polish community leaders, and I'm waiting for their submission. So we've definitely tried to hit up a lot of people at once to get them to give it a stab and see what they can do.
Nice. Zane, obviously welcome back. Zane, you dropped out a little bit there. You obviously have experience running tournaments in the United States, specifically LSO last year. Lodestar Open last year, wasn't it? Am I right in thinking? Mm-hmm. Will, I'm going to sneeze a second, but will you be joining the LVO? You know what? Really needed a sneeze. I was trying to stifle it. I just wanted to finish the sentence, but no. I assume you're going to be, if you're doing LSO again this year, you're going to be sticking that in for the LVO invitational shenanigans as well.
But I hadn't been forgotten, I've been married a long time ago.
He's frozen. Look at that.
He's frozen,
Don. Oh, get a screenshot. Get me a screenshot of that. Look at that. Boom. He's back. Oh, he's, he lives. He lives. There he is. He's back.
Oh, dear. Seen as our Fallout seen a huge rise in popularity, I think Zane's a synth.
We were so close.
We apologise on behalf of Zane's internet connection for him not being able to give an answer. It's quite funny because if you can see, it's like, but yeah. I'm just gonna little type a little message. Ollie, do you have a question for LJ while I type the message to him?
So I'll have some once we've talked about the next subject. But I think in terms of this one, it's more a commend to, like, hats off for getting this organised so quickly and so thoroughly by all the looks of things. So you know, the community cried out for some competitive play and LJ Pena answers. He is the Rohan of Legion.
Where was LJ when the Westfall fell?
It was Kuwait. Kuwait was the answer. I was in Kuwait.
That's a really good reply. Imagine if Aragorn just went. He was in Kuwait.
That well-known place in Middle Earth, Kuwait.
Middle East, Middle Earth. It's close enough.
Fred would turn around and just go, "Oh yeah, of course he was. Oh yeah, he's right there." Okay, well,
I did accept Lone Star Open as a full qualifier. As Zane tries to get back to us here, Texas has actually been a really responsive area to the LVIOS so far, which is awesome. There are a couple community leaders there that really kind of grabbed the opportunity and ran with it. And one of the things I'm seeing that I think is very, very cool is not only are like the larger convention level events that know their schedule super far out in advance getting on the schedule, but a lot of like stores have taken this as an opportunity to like flesh out their schedule for the year. Because again, and Andy was kind of alluding to this, you can only run one event at a location every 3 months. That doesn't mean you can't run one event in a city every 3 months or province or whatever have you. So like if you have, let's say, four stores that get together and they're like, on the first weekend, we're going to do an event and you're going to do an event on the second and you're going to do an event on the third weekend, whatever have you. That's totally okay. That is acceptable. And that's a way for us to drive and approve and get more events going in a specific area. And if we find that there's a really high concentration of invites being handed out in a specific area, then we just start awarding more points events instead of doing full qualifiers, which is awesome. So you're seeing that like power be put back in the local, you know, the local level, and those locals taking advantage of the fact that they can use this to create a schedule. And I know there was a Texas store specifically that hit me up for a May event and already have their August, September, and their December event on our schedule as well. So that store has three events already planned out, and their year schedule is already ready to go. So again, super, definitely some props to Texas there. And yes, Lone Star Open is a full qualifier.
Well, that's Goggles, you are muted. I can see your mouth moving a little.
I was someone else. So Zane is going to duck out. It's a shame. So he's decided to die. So he's going to duck out, and he says, "Dang it!" It's a shame. So my brother from another mother has disappeared, unfortunately. But them's the way things work. I'm just to assume that in Texas, the internet runs on like solar powered. No, it can't be. It's Texas.
Texas internet runs on nice dice.
Yeah, nice dice. It's they need to be rolled, and then it runs on pure enthusiasm and yeehaw energy.
Yeehaw.
Five out of five yeehaws for the LVO Invitational. That's Ollie's score for it.
You've got to be really careful about when you like make jokes about Texas, because they are crazy down there, I'm told. Anyway.
All right, no. Yeah. So let's not make jokes about them. Let's not make jokes about them, but let's call them all crazy. Yeah, that'll do it.
I feel like they wear that as a badge of honor, though. I think.
No, that's the Florida people.
Well, it's both. But
the Florida man is a thing of myth and legend.
Well, no, we've seen Austin Miller. He exists.
No, well, he's more of sadness and sorrow, but. but the proper Florida man. Oh,
Floridian Jesus there. Anyway,
Holly Miller. Now that's a good Floridian.
Yeah, Holly's cool. We like Holly. Well,
we like Holly. She made me a jumper. She's earned points.
Anyway, LVO Invitational sounds like a great little prospect for everybody involved, and not just everybody, for those who like regularly attend, who are what you would call the competitive players, but anyone who could get involved and they just want to, and they want to go, works out quite well. The one query that I have for you would be that, does that mean that the invitational points, would that be for a separate event, the LVO invitation then, or would it be the same event, whole thing? If you're on my drift, is it going to be a separate event for those who've earned just points to go to LVO, or is it a case of you can still go to LVO and play all your tournament games as per usual?
So one of the things that we wanted to make sure we did with LVO 2025 was still provide kind of an open style event, because I was really touched by some of the feedback I got when Jordan dropped the kind of teaser announcement about like some of, especially like our West Coast United States folks that did travel to LVO on a regular basis, that were pretty sure they would not be competing to earn an invitational spot. And so that really showed to me that we needed to provide something for that type of player that wanted to just go to LVO, have a good time, but not necessarily play under the labeling of an invitational or have to worry about getting a spot throughout the year. And so we're actually providing four different types of events at this Las Vegas Open. We're going to have a grand tournament. We've already applied. On Friday and Saturday, it's a guaranteed 7 games for the people that are going to play in that. The top 8 from that are going to be invited to join the Invitational, which starts on Saturday. And then they will move on. They will play that day. And then the open event will finish up on that Saturday. And then the Invitational will go from Saturday to Sunday. And Sunday we'll have a doubles tournament that we usually do every year for the people that want more Legion and then maybe played in the open style events. And then throughout the weekend, we're also going to offer scrambles, which are, they're included in the ticket price. If you're not familiar with that, basically it's like pods. You sign up, and as soon as there are 8 people that have signed up for a pod, your pod launches, and your pod is given 4 tables, and you can play 3 games of Legion, and you can get extra games in. Whether it be you arrived for the Invitational on Saturday, and you get there Friday morning, and you want to check out the convention, and then get some practice in before the Invitational starts, or it's Sunday, you want to play a couple more games of Legion with people that have traveled, because maybe doubles isn't your thing, and you know, you're down to clown and play a couple games. But it, again, it's not something that you have to pay for, and it's something that will probably throw prizes at you for participating in. So we've tried to create kind of a menu of events that'll reach a lot of people and get a lot of people enthusiastic about playing the game and doing what they enjoy doing. And also, it's just going to have a lot of people, I think, interested in being at the event. We're budgeting for, you know, 256 players on Saturday playing Legion. And I think that's going to be, I mean, we saw it at Worlds this last year. It's going to be awesome. It's always great when you see it. And we're playing the game we're all here to play, which is what really matters at the end of the day.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other question I have is, in terms of sponsorship and prize support, how are you going about that? Are you sourcing local / international support? Or how are you working that around for prizes? Because obviously people will turn up regardless, but it makes it more enticing when there's the prize support and all this sorts of stuff. So what's the initial plan there, if not fully developed, if that makes sense?
Yeah, so that's kind of where I really have a lot of fun over the next couple of months. About 8 months out is when I have the scheduling and everything completed. So as soon as the tickets go on sale on Frontline's website, you can see the full scope of the event. And it's there, you know, plain black and white for everybody to see. And then after that's up, I just go straight into prize sourcing mode. So we'll talk to, you know, community leaders, we'll talk to businesses, we'll try to see what Frontline can maybe provide us, because they've given us stuff in the past, they've sponsored trophies, and then people will just hit me up. So if you're interested in supporting the LVOIS, or maybe you want to help with like the regular, the doubles or something, you know, you should just reach out, because that's also something that we can talk about and try to get you on.
If only there was someone within this podcast chat here who deals with sponsorship things. He's woken up. He wasn't even paying attention. Ollie, no,
I didn't want to put any pressure on anybody.
Yeah, I'll look however, after it. Comma.
I'll leave, like here. This is officially me and Andy officially delegating. Bang, that's over to you, Ollie. There you go.
I'm happy to sponsor the event as a podcast. I've got kits. We got promos. Dice will not be happening though anymore because unfortunately. AMG did not
give us a million dice.
Well, yeah, they didn't follow through on community dice like they did in the first year. Not saying that's anybody's fault or any issues or anything, but I know for a fact, they will have pallets and pallets of those reds and those whites that are currently sat in a warehouse somewhere, not really doing anything.
Give it time.
So, yeah, I know, but it's just
because they're going to be used for kits.
They're not. I don't think they will. They're going to be using the new ones.
Yeah, you're talking about the old red and white.
I'm talking about the old red and white. Like,
the ones that I had in large bags of like 300 at LVO 2023.
Yeah, so like
and the UK had none.
Yeah. There was a small imbalance there. I can admit it.
You know, it's up there with just stuff like, because obviously that's why the price of white promo dice was horrendous in the UK it still is for them ones. I don't know why, but
I think because I didn't have any and I wanted some just as a collection. I think I paid £15 a dice.
Mm. It's expensive. But just like the world's foil promos and stuff like that, they're all going for kind of like 55 a promo. Mm-hmm. And then the dice themselves, I will not be selling my dice ever of those ones. You can't sell your world's dice.
No.
But they're going for like 30 quid.
Either 50 quid a pair, I saw.
Yeah, well, I was about to say per dice.
Yeah.
So for those of you not working in pound sterling, that's probably about $43 United States. That's probably
I don't think it's that much, is it?
I don't know. I'm
it's playing the 30 quid's probably like $39 or something weird.
Yeah, that's about that.
Yeah, there's not.
Sorry, I was going the wrong way around. Yeah, sorry, I went the wrong way around.
We're not double their currency anymore, which is
not for a long time.
No,
can't think why that is. Anyway,
not since I were a nipper.
We shan't go into those reasons. Any other question? Any other questions about the LVO International stuff for LJ, boys?
As you mentioned, I suppose, does it make sense to mention the date for LVO? I know most people know when it will be.
That was actually also a today announcement. So you're right. I didn't have that in my spiel because that's brand new. Hot on the news. Frontline just dropped that the 16th through the 19th of January 2025, that is the Las Vegas Open. So they haven't mentioned exactly when tickets are going to go on sale yet. That's usually June or so. If you're interested in playing Legion at the LVO, we'll have the tickets for the doubles and the open up immediately. I'm going to see exactly how they want to run the stuff for the Invitational, but they've already done it for Tyson, so I'm not anticipating that to be too much of a problem. But as we collect names and points and things, you'll actually be able to see those go up on the LVO Invitational Series website. There's a tab called Player Points List where you can click on that and you can see who's earned points. And those emails and people's names that have been collected, once tickets go up on sale for LVO, the Invitational folks will also receive emails for how to purchase their tickets and join us in Vegas.
And that seems like that is a succinct way to sum up the LVO International stuff. Yeah. Which then, now you used the phrase, I can't remember the exact phrase, but it complemented the AMG new announcement things, complemented the work hand in hand. And as I said at the start of the show, we had some news drop right before, about an hour before the show, we started recording that maybe you should go, oh, interesting. And I will just read it out. So Adepticon and AMG have announced the Adepticon Open Worlds Championship 2025, which means, yes, there will be a Worlds. I'll read it out because it's actually a very short statement. Atomic Mass Games is excited to announce, in partnership with Adepticon 2025, our series of World Open Championships for all our game lines, including Legion, X-Wing, Armada, Shatterpoint, and MCP. World Open Championships bring the pinnacle of competition by inviting any and all players from across the globe to come and compete in a series of heats to earn a spot at the World Open Finals that take place Saturday, Sunday of Adepticon. And at the end, a single world champion will emerge from a crucible of some of the most intense gaming over the 4 days of Adepticon. More information will be released as time goes on. This is, I don't know if it's unexpected for some of us. Some of us who know Hank were told bear with. So Hank, I think, they would not have been moving Adepticon if they knew that AMG were taking all this stuff away. So I think the impression we're given is that this was in the planning anyway. So mm-hmm. It's just, as I said in the previous show, if AMG had come out and said, we're not supporting flights, we're not supporting the big prizes anymore, probably because they can't afford it, it doesn't make business sense, and with what's gone on with Asmodee, then that's their logic. And if they said, no, we're not doing it, everyone would have gone, fine. But they did it in a weird way round of saying, we're not doing it, oh, we are doing it. And here we are. Either that, or Hank kicked off big time and just went, hey, you've just done this to me, and I've just done this. To be honest, two things could be true. There is a Worlds next year. We've not been privy to any information as to how you qualify.
It's right there.
Hang on. So players who wish to take on the challenge claim title of world will first need to... Oh, sorry, I didn't read the full thing.
My favorite way to describe it is, well, last year there was an LCQ. Now everybody's in the LCQ.
I was thinking it was a things like with the usual stuff where there's invites and stuff to other things.
No, it's literally as it says there on the tin, it's an open. AMG's original statement and the reason why they didn't like the old Worlds was it was too exclusive. So it kept people out of it.
Of course it's exclusive. When people are watching the World Cup for football, they're not going, oh, I really wish this country was playing against this team. I think an open style event is just a touch madness because, so for instance, if you're turning up to Adepticon because you want to have some fun and you want to play a few games and you get matched against Luke Cook, Zyconia, Finn, you, me, like any players who are going to be playing there for serious, because, you know, it's still branded the World Championship, so obviously you're still fighting for that.
Yep.
You're going to absolutely, well, I mean, you have every potential to just muller a new player that just wants to turn up and have fun, which makes the game less inclusive for them. If you want to make it more inclusive, run an open alongside it.
No, because they wouldn't get a chance to play those people.
You've got people who potentially couldn't qualify due to if you look in some rural areas where the store championships needed a minimum of 16 players for it to be qualifiable, but their local group, they could be ridiculously highly competitive players and they can't get more than 8 people. They are excluded from the World Championships because of that.
No, they're not. You can just travel.
And what happens if their nearest store, and if you're talking like, I don't know, in remote areas of Australia, like, yes, Zyconia and stuff can travel, but when you're talking about traveling from one city to another, where it's a 12-hour travel to a tournament, and it's for a single day store championship to get 16 players together, it just doesn't happen. And I'm sure, like, there's other countries as well. Like, we're quite lucky in the UK, and probably pretty much all over Europe, that you can probably be within 2 hours of a store decent size. But I know, for instance, in the US, a lot of pit players will also moan about, with the store championships at 16 players being the minimum requirement, that they struggle to get that.
Then lower the cap on a store championship, or offer,
then people will argue the other way, that you're arguing the same way you're saying that it takes the credibility out of it.
Or add, if you, under their new structure, add if you win a grand tournament, then at the World Championship Open, you get a bye in the first round.
Well, the structure is on that. Like, we don't even know if it's you've got to go undefeated, if it's the top 32 from Heat 1 and top 32 from Heat 2. It could be, like, top 64 from each of them. It could be something stupid.
So, here's the thing. If you're running it as an open, so obviously the LVO is going to draw a lot of players to it, and I think for Europeans, or well, for most people anywhere else in the world, it's going to either be going to LVO if you've qualified, or going to Adepticon. Like those are your two choices, because it's going to be very, very difficult, because I'm not a millionaire, to go to both. Because, you know, it's you're sort talking.
Why aren't you a millionaire, man? Come on.
Why am I not a millionaire?
What was the point of the private school?
Yeah.
Wow. That is the best statement. What was the point?
It's just so I don't end up like Cockles. doing manual labour close to my 40th birthday.
He's highly educated, though.
I'm going to say manual labour is a very... I wouldn't even call it manual labour, mate. Don't worry.
Right, Andy, next time he messes with the group saying, I'm really tired. I was out with the lads all day yesterday. Digging. Oh. I'll be there like, manual labour. No, it's not, mate. Shut up.
It's not always manual labour, to be fair, but I will just say...
Old man.
I'm an old man anyway, so come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress.
I think that you have a Worlds level event that is not Worlds, and then an open event that they are branding Worlds because AMG, for some reason, don't want to. So what confuses me most is that in one breath they are bragging that they are bigger than the 40K event at Adepticon, and in the next they are completely changing up what they're doing, which will likely result, realistically, in them getting... I think there'll be less than 272 players at that event.
I don't think there will be.
I don't think there will be, but I think I don't know. I think because it's a Worlds, it will still draw the international players to it. Similar to the LVO Invitational. Like, it's going to be a big thing to be the champion of that, especially if it's it's you next year. Like, everyone wants it who plays competitively. Like, going to GTs is going to be your benchmark of where you think you are, because GTs are high level events. Going to the LVO Invitational, if you win that in January, you are going to be high on the kite, man. You're going to be like, I've got good chances of winning Worlds because you've just won one of the highly competitive events of the season. And that's what all of the World Open qualifiers were. You look at all of the people who are top 16, a lot of them had won World Open qualifiers. You obviously won one. Luke Cook was previous world champion. Oscar had, I think he come top four at one. Who else was in the top four? Who was the other?
Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse. Jesse won World Open qualifier, didn't he?
No. That was his first, like, big event.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Now, so if that's his first big event, and he goes and he was pure underdog, and he goes and makes top four, that's outstanding. So you're saying to me there might be someone who, as Andy said, might not be in a community, might be in a community where they might not be able to get to an event and or a place in one of the big events to get them a qualifier. Are they going to be the next underdog that comes on? Because really, when you said, because they can go to the Open, where they might not have gone to a Worlds qualifier, they can now go to the Open and say, look, I'm actually here to play and I want to try and win. And they could be the underdog that no one knows about.
And the other people who want to go, like, look at your Mark Radfords.
Who? So,
your Mark Radford.
No, it's not. It's Rad Markford.
Like, people like him, who he loves going to the World Championships. He obviously qualified last year, but not this year, because he's not mega hyper competitive. And same with a few other players of that caliber. But one of the reasons why he goes is he wants to go A, and experience it, and B, collect the stuff that is handed out at Worlds.
Because he's a big collector.
But if it's an open event,
then it appeals to him.
But you're not going to get handouts, and at best...
Won't you get handouts? It's Worlds. AMG will give product out.
It is Worlds. However, I imagine that they're going to just shit-pank a load of stuff and there's going to be an Adepticon person sat on a prize wall for the weekend.
But that's the stuff that people like, they know they're not going to win. They just want to go and experience and play Legion. And the first round, if they get paired against you or me, they don't care. It'll be the other games that they get to, that they get to experience and play people of their caliber and have a laugh. And they're going to be taking the most randomest lists as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. When it's an open qualifier, it increases the size of the event. And yes, then people might get tanked on the first round by playing the more competitive people. But it's no different to them people who've won a local random store tournament because the caliber of their players in that local area are very low skill in comparison. And then go to Worlds thinking they're the dog's bollocks because they won a store championship and never went to anything in between. And they're going to turn up, get smashed on round one, potentially. It might not happen. And it's the same kind of logic. It's just you're opening up the field to people who couldn't qualify by going to events and people who don't have the time to sometimes go to them events. Look, at, for instance, me. I obviously with store championships, I was lucky and I managed to win one. But because I run every single World Open qualifier, I can't qualify outside of them. If it wasn't for store championships, I wouldn't have been able to go to Worlds last year.
I mean, we would have sorted it so you could.
No, but Andy's lucky in that position. I'll go. So you've said Andy said his position on that one. I'm in the same position that I'm lucky if I can go to maybe four events over a year, maybe five. And that's and I looked at my game uplink. Game uplink's been what, for 2 years, and I've been to eight events at Register Game Uplink. So that averages about four a year, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on that, if I can go to four events a year, and I don't consider myself a tier one player, but nor do I consider myself to be a tier three player. I consider myself in the mid tier two. I know what I'm doing. I'm good at what
tier four.
I can do. But I know what I'm doing. I'm good at what I can do. And one time I take a meta list, I'd place top four in something that did that. I just don't take meta because I play a lot. And I've said this in other shows. But that now opens it up for me and other people who are in my situation who can go and go, and, you know what? I'm in a position where I could go to America next year. In my scenario, I turn 40 next year and it's on my, and Adepticon's over my 40th. I might be able to go over and just play games and enjoy my 40th and be an absolute nerd. Brilliant. Or I'm streaming it. Who knows what's going on? That opens a field up to me. And if I go up and turn up and have a laugh, great. If I go up and get smashed, whatever. If I go up and actually play underdog and turns out I can actually play well if I concentrate, brilliant. Either way, Andy's shaking his head. But you know what I mean? Anything can happen. Dice tell stories. Who knows what happens? It opens it up to people who might not be the tier one player, but those who are tier two, tier three, flirting with tier three, and I've said the tiers last time when we were talking about it. It opens it up to them who might not necessarily be there at every major event to go out and win every event. Like Nav goes to all the events and wins event and wins stuff, but I can't do that. And there'll be other people in mine and similar situation who can't go to every event to go and to compete and get a ticket because they just don't have the time and or just the time to go and do that. To be honest. Because they've got families and life and work and whatnot, and that's not a knock. It's just the fact of life.
That's the same as the pass down system, though, because you go to an event late in the season. It's still the same people travelling to all of these events. I mean, the That's No Moon Open 2, I think 7th or 8th place got a ticket. I think so.
Yeah,
You know, so there's. It's not like. It's a hard one to gauge. So, like, Worlds is meant to, in my mind, Worlds is meant to be the most premier competitive event that you can go to. So, if you're not going to play as competitive as you can be, then don't go to Worlds. Go to something else.
Yeah, that's not a bad statement. You're actually correct. If you're not going to try and go out and to be tier one compete, cool, fine.
But I'm all for inclusion, and that's why I don't. And that's why it would have been great to have an Adepticon open on like the Thursday, Friday, or something, where you can play your six rounds of Swiss. Everybody can join in and play in that. But then throughout the year, you've managed to pull down, and there was 64 players, and you do six rounds of Swiss straight into a single 6-0 victor on the Sunday. And if and that's you, you know, you've got your top invite, and you do that through GTs. And there, if there's like 64 GTs in the world, if they were to plan it out like that, you go the top player from each one, they get the invite. Second places get it from those events if first places can't go or don't want to go. And then you've got the Open Thursday, Friday, actual Worlds Saturday, Sunday. I get that it wouldn't quite work with timings, but something like that. Like, you do four rounds day one, two rounds day two for actual Worlds. And then you do three, four, two would be the structure, I think.
LJ, you've been very silent, and like the observer for all this, I wouldn't call it a heated discussion, but the entertaining discussion between myself, Andy, and Ollie. What are your thoughts, please?
No, I mean, not at all. I honestly have tried to kind of put my thoughts into some sort of form out in the community today, but this also is one of my last days I'm home before I travel, so I've kind of been a little distant from it on purpose, just because I don't want to get too engaged and not focus on some of the other things I wanted to do today. I like that it's more opportunity. I think my mantra has always been like more Legion, more better. And so I think this is going to appeal to a certain subsection of the community that liked that Worlds label and wanted something to be called Worlds. Because when we came out with the LVIOS stuff, we were very purposefully not calling it Worlds, because it's not. It's an invitational that we wanted to do at LVO. And that was important to me, because that's been my baby over the last 6 years now. You know, that's why we did it at LVO, and really no other reason. But we wanted to open it up to the wider community, because we didn't want to call it a North American event. We wanted to include everybody. So I think this move is very much in line with AMG's philosophy and how they like to do their organized play efforts. And I think it makes a lot of sense to me. But what is my reservation about actually playing in it versus observing it is just what that structure is going to look like. And so if you're that person that, you know, Andy was talking about, that maybe comes from a smaller community but doesn't travel to like the conventional level events throughout the world, is that exposure that you're going to get going to be a positive exposure or a negative exposure? Because it's going to be one or the other. And my hope is that it'll be a positive exposure. It'll be a well-run, well-structured event. And I really want to attend Adepticon 2025 as a spectator and just enjoy the convention, because I've been a couple times and I've never gotten to do that myself. And I've also never been to Milwaukee, and that's a city like that's on my bucket list that I've wanted to go to in the United States. So like, I think this decision is rad. There are a couple communication type things that I think maybe could have smoothed it out, so it was a little better receptive, you know, which I think we have kind of talked about a little bit. You know, we're not doing Worlds now, this is going to be called Worlds, et cetera, et cetera. But again, at the end of the day, like, they are providing a product that I think people wanted and are going to enjoy. The LVOIS is going to provide a product. The GTs are going to provide a product. The local stores are going to be able to provide a product. And at the end of the day, like, it might come in different forms, but that product is Legion. And I do think that's what really matters at the end of the day. It really, like, that's kind of the other reason I was more than happy to let you guys discuss it, was because the impact is less on me as somebody who lives in the country where they're holding these events, right? Like, I'm actually really interested on your guys' opinions, because, you know, with LVO being in January and Adepticon being in March, you guys do have to choose. You're not going to be able to just go to both. And in a lot of cases, you're going to be lucky if you get to go to one. So I sympathize with that, and I hope that you have, and you being the player, whoever's listening to this, you have a product that you want in mind that you think would be fun, and you get the opportunity to go to the product that you want to go to. That's really what I hope at the end of the day. I hope that if you're the person that you wanted to go to a swanky invite-only event where you know everybody had to, you know, earn a spot, then LVO can provide that for you. If you wanted to go, on the other hand, get smashed in Vegas and, you know, stay out with your friends till 4 a.m. singing karaoke, then you can come to the open portion of Vegas and still do that. If you want to go to the AMG official event do that at March in Milwaukee at Adepticon. So it's not that we're fighting against each other. It's we're mutually providing products that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy. And I think that's why this is a positive thing at the end of the day. I will continue to talk about what we are providing through Frontline Gaming and LVO. And, you know, all I will say there is that our stuff is going to be very transparent. You already know what you're getting right now, and the packets are going to be up at least 6 to 7 months in advance. So take with that information what you will.
Final thoughts on this then, gents, and we shall move on to more lighthearted stuff. So Andy, final thoughts on this? Just sum it up if you want, for your opinion, sum up.
Yay, Worlds is back. but I think LJ probably nailed it pretty well there, that you, if you want that hyper-competitiveness, then and the Invitational is there as an option for you. You won't be the world champion, but you know that the route there is harder, where if you want to be the world champion, then go to Worlds. This is a simple kind of thing. It might be slightly easier to get into it, and you might feel that lessens the title, but then that's your, like, that's how you feel about it. And I think, like, still being branded the world champion is never a bad thing, and I don't think it ever takes away from it. And I think one of the things Louisa mentioned, actually, one thing to take from that is this: they've also brought everything to an equal playing field. So obviously X-Wing, Legion and Armada have always had world championships, but MCP and Shatterpoint have never had them. And they've always been very definitive about that. Like, they are not competitive is how they've always worded it. And now they're bringing them up to the same level.
It'd be interesting to see what their communities
feels of that.
I wouldn't call myself
they've always been segregated, but now they've brought them up to that. Everything now has a world championships. Everything is accessible to everyone, and I think it is a good thing.
Ollie,
Again, like, yay, Worlds is back. I'm still happy that it's gonna be ran by Hank, so regardless of that, it'll be a phenomenal event. I'm just keen to see what unfolds, what the added extras they put in, or what the caveats are going to be on the event. Because like I've seen in a couple of group chats for me, there'll be a limited number of spots, even though it's an open, so it's going to be a bit of a mad dash in like October, November to desperately try and buy your ticket and like reserve your spot, and then you miss out. But again, I'll see. And obviously, if there's a world's title attached, I will have to go and defend said title.
I am.
We're gonna have another 2-time world champion, right?
Yeah.
I have a theory, and this is just a theory. I have no real evidence to back this up, other than just it's just a hunch. Given that Adepticon has moved to a bigger location, I wonder if that the open will be bigger, as in you'll have more people in the heats. So you'll have the bigger heats and a bigger tournament the week Saturday, Sunday. It's a speculation. I don't know if I'm right. I could be wrong. I don't know. So you may have maybe two 128 tournaments. I don't know. However it works, it'll work. From my perspective, yay, Worlds is back. I'll get that hat trick in. Also, yay, LVO International is put that as a pair of your top tier gaming thing. It's a good thing. It's a shame for if you're obviously LJ, you touched on it. Like, it's hard for the international travelers because you'll have to probably pick one unless they're in a very fortunate position, in which case, awesome. But it gives you that sort of option, because some people might not be able to make the March, and then they go, yeah, brilliant, I'll go January, or vice versa, or whatever, that sort of thing. From my personal perspective, I like it because it gives the chance to players who are in a similar position to me, or who can at least have a shot. And to quote Alexander Hamilton, I'm not going to miss that shot, and see what happens there. Ollie has no idea what that is, does he? There we go. I thought you were cultured. It gives you a chance, and for those people who might be in a similar position, but then again, I probably will end up running, if I were to play, I'd end up running into like yourself, Andy, Luke, Oscar, Finn, and then get beat, and then that's my chance gone. So it's just the way it is. So great news all round. And to touch on something I think someone said earlier about communication, I think it's been communicated inefficiently, if that makes sense. What they should have just said is that they should have just said, wait on this regarding Worlds. This is what's happening. These are our grand tournaments. We're up there. We'll let you know about Worlds next year in due course. And I think that's probably what would have been the better idea. Everyone would have gone, cool, we'll find out about Worlds next year. And no one would have kicked off. And that's where we're at. Moving on. Obviously, we've been speaking about events. And obviously, we're recording at the moment on the 30th of April. We're literally 4 days away from what is called Star Wars Day. And there are plenty of events in the UK and around the globe for Star Wars games. And it made me think about those who wanted to run events. It's like, how would you do that? How would you? You need to sort of collate and get tables across. And the two people we have in this chat would have plenty of experience about how to gather tables and build the perfect table. So I thought, well, Andy, if you have some, I thought just Andy, could you give some table building advice and how might be, I wouldn't say the perfect table, but the ideal table for people who are maybe inexperienced about building tables for events or just looking to build tables for games, casual games / slightly more competitive games within their own communities. How, and LJ, actually your input with this would be cool because you've got the best of cross-Atlantic and opinions on how tables are built. So fire away, Andy first, then LJ, just chip in, have a conversation.
Sure. Yeah, it's... The first thing to do is make sure you've got enough on the table. And the starting point for me is basically place all the terrain next to each other and make sure it fills a minimum of about a third. Like you want about 25% minimum, up to, but no more than 40%. I mean, it's a bit of a vague figure because it depends on the size of the piece of the terrain, if they're all line of sight blockers, if they're like, if you've got scatter in there and the size of them, you might want like on the lighter side, if everything is a big line of sight blocker, you might want like only 25%. But if you've got large scatter pieces, then you're probably going to be towards like the 40% end. But then obviously how that places on the board matters as well. That's usually the first thing I do to make sure, like, I'm in the process of obviously doing lots of new tables at the moment for MKGT. So once I've printed loads of terrain, I chuck it on the table, make sure it fills that up. Then what I kind of do is it's hard trying to do it without verbally rather than visually. It's quite hard. I will pick a piece of terrain as my centerpiece, and I kind of work out in centric circles and adjust from there. So I'll pick either and make sure it's varied. Don't have every single table with a crater as the middle point. Don't have every single one as a building. You want a variety of center point pieces of terrain. If it is a building, make sure it's slightly off center because you need to account for recover the supplies and hostage. And they're kind of things that you'll start to learn. And if you get it wrong, and I've had a couple of people message me recently about like TOing as well, and it comes from table points of view. If you get it wrong during a tournament, someone's going to put their hand up and go, look, we've got nowhere to put this box. What can we do? Slightly adjust the terrain there and then, and just go, sorry, guys, like I didn't account for that. I'm the TO, obviously. Now, you need to make sure you still keep the terrain as neutral as possible and move it in the least amount of distance as well. So if it means moving it, I don't know, half an inch to the left, so be it. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's not going to really have changed someone's decision on where they're going, like table side. But if you completely go, oh, I'll swap it for this piece of terrain for that piece of terrain, that's a big no-no. But if you start by picking your center piece of terrain and then kind of measure it to the center point, place it slightly off center, or if it is a crater or like some like area terrain, then yes, it can be the centerpiece dead on. Then I kind of put a piece of terrain that's quite big towards on each board edge. Doesn't matter where. And the reason for that is if you end up playing like Long March or Disarray, it gives you some form of breaking up the board, so it's not just a straight firing line when you're playing in either direction, from left to right or straight up. And then naturally that will kind of create diagonal firing lanes, and most of the time you want to play diagonally because most deployment zones are either in the top left or bottom right. Few exceptions. Go on, LJ.
I was actually going to say that was one of the big points that I like to bring up when talking about building tables, because the deployments encourage that diagonal style of play you're talking about. When I see people build a city board or big like building focus boards, encourage them to build their cities on a, like you imagine the streets are going diagonal instead of vertical or horizontal, because it complements Legion really, really, really well, because you'll break up more sight lines by building along that diagonal plane, because then, okay, when you're going from top to bottom, you're hitting the diagonal. When you're going left to right, again, you're hitting that diagonal. And so that's really, really, really good advice that I wanted to add on to there from what you were saying is like, yeah, if you shift that plane and just tilt it, then it complements the way Legion plays out on the table.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of this is stuff that I've either accumulated and written an article on, obviously on Fifth Trooper, but that wasn't the first article out there. Like I'm trying to think whose it is, but the first article I came across was a great image where it shows an overlay of all the deployment zones and then all of the like neutral objective markers and their radius and how they interact with each other. So for instance, obviously intercept, it had like a circle of range one from the center point plus the points of where it overlaps, so you know that the intercept point overlaps with major offensive, and it kind of is quite close to advanced positions and things like that. Like, it's all of them kind of overlays showing you everything all at once, and that kind of also helps influence where you want to be placing terrain as well, because you might place a piece of terrain like over where an intercept point is. That can be fine, but you might go, actually I want them to be able to, if someone's got a lone unit on that point, you want them to be able to be shot potentially. Now, it might not be on every table, but just on this table, you'll go, actually, I want this intercept point. If they're playing intercept, they might not ever play it. I want them to be able to have to expose themselves, and therefore it kind of opens up the game. But make sure you don't do it for one player. Make sure it's kind of fair and balanced for both. In that kind of regard. Or if you've got an advantage on intercept, so as blue player, they're going to have to expose themselves to score it, make sure blue players then got an advantage when playing I'm trying to think of another neutral one, like K positions or something. Like, the center point is slightly beneficial towards them. It's like rotated to their deployment zones, and that's what, like, kind of more of a longer term experience thing that you can kind of do. But starting off, kind of think about intercept, think about recover, and think about hostage as the centerpieces. Make sure there's somewhere sensible for them to be placed on the board and how they interact with the game. And that kind of will open up all of the other objectives as well. And just have a good mix. Make sure one side of the board isn't all heavy terrain and one side's all light, because then obviously that's a bit unfair. Mix it up a little bit. But yeah, it's hard to talk and explain in huge amounts of depths without going, this is how I would do it on a diagram, or like reshuffle a board out and kind of feedback and stuff. But I mean, I do have a lot of newer TOs kind of messaging me recently going, oh, what do you think to this board layout? And we've seen it in the Discord as well with the Patreon. And that's also better, because then you've not just got my point of view. And it's the same when we was laying out the world's tables for the stream. We had Seth and who else was helping us? Josh, the head judge. And we were kind of, right, this is what I like about the board. And then we're going, well, I don't like this part of the board. And then they would explain, like, we'd each explain why we like that part of the board or what we don't like about it. And it might have been something that I hadn't considered or what they hadn't considered, and vice versa. And you go, oh, yeah, that's a really good idea. I do like the way you've placed that objective and way you've placed that piece of terrain, and the way it's going to affect and interact with the board. So as I say, on the Discord, it's great having people post up their pictures of their board layouts and then going, what would you guys change? And you kind of give feedback and you might go, oh, okay, now I need to print a bit of terrain or make a piece of terrain that fills that logic or that gap that I've missed. Because the latest one I've done was Darth Vader's, it's Mustafar, isn't it? Done his keep and like loads of lava rock formations and gantries and the massive temple. And afterwards, I was like, there's loads of line of sight blocking. There's loads of pieces of terrain here, but there's no, there wasn't much light cover. And there wasn't much scatter. So I'm now having to print a load of that to finish that table off. But it does help getting other people's feedback on terrain layouts. So hopefully that helps.
I'm going to use the word amateur table creator. I take these words and they're quite handy when I'm looking, because it's every time I've run one event, and I did it in Colchester at 40K. And it went really well, but like Andy, you and Ollie attended, and you were like, you saw the tables that I'd built beforehand, and you came over like, this is cool because you've done this, but you need to do this next time. So it's always a scope for learning. I think what we're going to start seeing going forward is the prospect of more height coming into terrain. You've seen the Shatterpoint game. Obviously, it has the height in terms of people going up and scaling down ladders and stuff like that, but that has much more of a impact on the game. But I think because that terrain can be used in Legion, I think we might see more of that going on. And also, when the units I can't remember the keyword, but the Geonosian units, when they shoot down, what's it called?
Death from above.
Thank you. I thought it was. I just was like, is it? But yeah. So death from above. death from above having more of an impact, and maybe other units will have it going forward. Who knows? Ollie, what's your perfect table?
What's my perfect table?
Yeah, what's your perfect start light table? Because there are the other school of thought is that you build a table to tell a story and just go, hey, that's what the table is. And but some people, Andy shaking his head. I'm just saying, some people like.
Andy. So in all honesty, and this goes alongside my my commitment to painting models.
Hello.
I don't really.
Didn't you say painting? Do you mean sneezing on them with a nosebleed?
Listen, mate, I had three colours that were a bit nicer this time.
You also had other people paint your models and give them to you.
Well, no, I borrowed some off Tom that were already painted, and then I painted some, but you can tell whose is whose.
Yes, you can.
but to me, the most important thing about a table is not that it's thematic, it's not that it's painted well. It's that it provides you with all of the things you need to play a fair game. And so it needs to have, and that, you know, we all make jokes about American tables, and some of the Germans had went at the Adepticon tables before we ended up playing on them. So it ended up with it being a good mix on the tables for different people's play styles. You know, I'm not saying that all American tables are like that, but when you see some American tables, you're there just going, well, no wonder why America favors gun lines. I want a good mix of heavy and light cover. I want line of sight blocking spread around the table. I want some difficult terrain in there, and I want a bit of height. If those four factors are filled, and between it all, it makes up about 25% of the actual size of the table, if you were to put it all into a corner, fire away. That's good for me.
LJ, do you want to defend the slight on the United States honor that Ollie made, or are you just going to go, yeah, that's fair?
No, I mean, those TOs just need to get good and provide better tables.
There you go.
Shots fired.
I mean, he didn't say that about LVO, so I got nothing to complain about. It's one of those things.
One LVO table.
That's fine. You can complain all you want. I don't take it personally, because I know that everybody's coming from different mindsets. They're coming from different availabilities of terrain, and I like that we're not I've said this before, but I like that we're not playing StarCraft. I like that there are variabilities within our own communities that make it interesting to travel and see how people do things differently. I very much respect the viewpoint of there should be a standard, and that standard should allow you to play the game, because I think that's critical, and I'm really glad Ollie put it that way. I don't see a need to defend it personally, because A, it doesn't really like bug my honor at all, because I know we're always in a state of growing, and so there's always going to be things that aren't as well as you'd like them to be. But I think those variances within our communities are what make the game interesting. And I've never been particularly interested in a very like standardized layout type of approach to tables. There are what I like to call through lines that are like a lot of the things that Andy was talking about for what you keep in mind when you put a table together, because it allows you to play the game and they work with the way that the game is played. So I think it's, I don't know, I think it's cool to have those variances and those differences between communities. And I will continue to tell people, hey, you know, do what you think works, and here's some things that you can keep in mind on the back burner, because then I'm always catching new ideas that other people have had, and I'm improving my process at the end of the day. And I think, you know, you have to be, like we've already kind of talked about here, you have to be able to take that feedback, incorporate it. And I encourage TOs to not hyperfixate on one table and to take a step back and look at the entire product that they're providing. When I am setting up an event, I will have tables in groups of like 4 or 8, and I will say, okay, out of 4 tables, 2 are going to be like closer to that 30%, 1's going to be 35%, 1's going to be 25%. And that creates an artificial variance within your tables. But then when you replicate that over 64 tables, well, now you've got like 8 pods of tables that follow that standard. And you've created a standard without saying, well, piece A needs to be placed here and piece B needs to be placed here, and micromanaging down to that lowest level.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good balance. As you say, like breaking it into different groups of types of terrain, like 1 mega heavy, 1 mega light, across 60 odd tables, you're okay, because all right, this game is going to be slightly harder because it's not as great as the table before, but as long as it's not every game, and you might get unlucky and you get paired onto the, like 2 of them slightly light themed tables, and they're probably going to look aesthetically and they're going to be laid out very differently. So you might not even notice it, and you might not realize like, I've played on them, and you might think the previous one was better. And then obviously LJ were like, yeah, they're both actually, in my eyes, they're both the same theme sets. So yeah, no, I think, and when you're also doing what 60, 40, 50 tables for these massive size events, it's easy to cock up on a couple, because you're doing so many of them.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. Worlds had what, 160 tables?
It was a couple.
Yeah. I mean, LVO is what, 160 odd players? What was it last year?
Last year was like 150 something. I'm looking at taking the inventory from 65 tables to 128 for this next LVO. So yeah, we just put in an order for like 40 tables last week. There's going to be variance in that process. It's not so standardized that you know exactly what you're getting. So you get to, but that's like the art, right? We talked about the science a little bit behind building a table. There's an art to it too, and that's up to the TOs to figure out, the community to help them know like what they're desiring, what's best. But that does make me want to know then, what was the LVO table that so spurred your hate? And you have to physically describe it, because again, we don't have physical media here.
Yeah, it was actually the one that was on stream, and I believe it was the semi-final game between I think it was Ewoks versus Rex or Clones. It was a clone gun line.
Oh, Not the Obi-Wan versus Ewoks game, was it? I know there was one of those, but maybe not.
Yeah, it was definitely on stream, and so I can go and find it for you. But it was basically they were playing Danger Close, and the whole flanks of the side of the board edge was completely open for both players, like the whole way down. And it was one of them things. Everyone was like, "Oh," and I think that spurs from international players watching, where they go, "Oh, look, the middle's mega open," and because obviously we only get to see one table or two or three, right, from a stream point of view, and that one table or two or three tables is the showcase for us of your entire inventory.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure unless you go and look at the pictures, you can be like, okay, it was the one table out of it, which was that category, or, you know, so it is hard.
I think that's going to be a challenge when it comes to world teams next year.
For sure.
Yeah, because if we had a really good setup last year where the tables were on boards, so that's why every game we swapped a board round. So you literally lifted the whole table up, moved it
over. Yeah, I've done stuff like amazing. That before. Yeah, that's helpful.
We might have to do that and just like set one up on a board for this year.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel better because you're complaining about a table that was at the LVO that Jordan ran while I was gone. So no hard feelings.
Oh yeah,
perfect.
I'm worried about his then.
So if you have queries about tables and or looking generally, if you're having queries about being a TO, either in the UK, America, or Europe, wherever you are, South America, whatever, doesn't matter, Australia, you can contact Andy, which would be andy@thatsnomoonpodcast.com, and I'm pretty sure he'd be able to answer any of your questions about that, because as I said, he's the LJ of the UK and LJ's the Andy of the United States, and between the two of them, and LJ, and everyone wants to talk to LJ about stuff as well, from my own experience, he's just drop a message and say, "Hey man, how you doing?" and he's always happy to reply.
I'm always around on Discord.
Yeah, talk polite on Discord. He's the one with the purple stuff that makes him look so much more important. Moving on, we're going to wrap up the show soon. So we're going to talk about events coming up, because we've neglected advertising a little bit of events. And we know Andy gets to talk about his event all the bloody time. So I'm just going to go on a handy app. LJ, did you know this exists? Because there's an app now, you can go on the internet, and if you're in Europe, you can do it. But what should happen is more people in the United States should do this, because I think it'd be really handy. It's called legionevents.app, and you can go in there and you can go in and basically, if you've got your event posted on Facebook, you can then let a bloke called Jeff Porritt know, who will add it to the calendar, and then he'll put it on this little map. And you can look on the map and go, "Oh, right, I want to find an event that is in between 2 weeks and 3 months' time," and it highlights them all. And you can go, "Right, where am I?" And for example, in the UK, where am I? I'm in East Anglia. So let's have a look. I'm going to click on this one here. And on June 30th in Hockley near Southend at Wayland Games, there's an event on on Sunday the 30th of June. You can go there and play to your heart's content from 11 till 8 p.m. But if you're looking for something a little more further afield, you can go 3 months plus, and then you can go all the way up to Preston. You can go to Harlequins, and then you've got 18th of January next year. There's a 2-day event at the start of next year. Obviously, people will be LBO anyway, so if they can't go, they can go to that. So we have some upcoming events. So I'm just going to click on the next ones that are coming up in the next couple of weeks, because, I mean, we've got another show in 2 weeks' time. So I'm just going to do the next 2 weeks. So immediately upcoming at Wayland Games, who I've just mentioned, on the 4th of May, on Star Wars Day, you've got a 16-man tournament run by Andreas Killy down in Essex, son. Down it, right, isn't it? Where Ollie and I both will be attending, and I'll be debuting my Imperial Army for the first time, because I've never played Imper, so it's going to be quite fun. I played against a mate the other day, it was good fun. So that's happening this Saturday. They've got 2 tickets left. If you're listening now, the episode should be dropping on the 1st of May, so give Killy a shout and see what's going down there. Failing that, sticking around the London area, if you can't do, because it's a bank holiday weekend, 3-day weekend this weekend, if you can't do the Saturday, May 4th, you could maybe do Order 66 at Dark Sphere in London on Monday, May the 6th. It's a bank holiday. So, yeah, why not? That is run by Elliot Thomas And then the London guys down there, always good games. I said to him the other day, I need to get down there more when I can, but life gets in the way. Let's go further afield. Let's go down south on the same... There's two events in the same city on the same day. One in sort of more Bournemouth, one in Poole. So you've got a skirmish event. So if you're not looking for something like the Grand Army style, if you want, you've got the Retro Cave Cafe. That's a skirmish event. Ollie won't be interested in that one because it's skirmish.
So if you'd not like to play Legion, feel free to go to the skirmish event. If you want to play Legion, go to the proper one.
And go to Paul and go to Entoyment as well at the Entoyment Wargaming and Hobby Centre. That's down the south. And then moving slightly west in near Glaston.
You're like a terrible weatherman.
Predominantly there will be this coming down. You've got
the forecast in the west. There's some Legion players.
We've got two games. You've got two games in Street, and yes, that is a place called Street. You've got a 2-day event at the Geeky Gamer on May 4th and May 5th, and then you can go up to Bristol, and you've got Bristol Independent Gaming on May 5th. Obviously you've got one of the bigger ones that's going on over the weekend up in Manchester. Sam Page at Stockport Elliott Games is running his Star Wars Spectacular. I might have butchered the name there, but I'm pretty sure it's the Star Wars Spectacular on May 4th in the north. I'm pretty sure a significant portion of those who attended Worlds are attending that particular event, but there's loads going on, so you should head over to legionevents.app. And Ollie, have you got any events you want to give a plug, because I missed out on anything or anything coming up? Andy, you get your chance in a bit, mate.
To be honest, I don't really think there's anything major in my neck of the woods as I just travel around. I'm trying to get Legion off the ground in Northampton. It's just it's such difficult. It's quite a historical wargaming town. So they're big into their bolt action and other rubbish games, so I'm just trying to switch them to the light. It'll take me time, I'll get there.
It's all good. One I forgot to mention, obviously, if you're a Patreon supporter, if you come speak to us on Saturday the 6th of July at what's it called, Tabletop Republic in High Wycombe, Tom, Jack, Ollie and myself will all be there doing games. We've already got a couple of people signed up to play as play each of us, actually, interesting, so that's good fun. We've got half a game games available left, so yeah, drop an email, make inquiries, cockles at thatsnomanpodcast.com, and you can find out what games are available and we can play you and you can play us, even if you want to come down, hang out and whatnot and ask about lists Ollie has, pick his brains about how to be better or list building, all this sorts of stuff. Particularly if you're looking for competitive stuff, if you're looking for more fun building lists, then maybe that's Jack and mine and Tom's game. If you're looking for like top tier competitive list building, that's probably where you go to Andy and Ollie really for that one. Andy, I'm pretty sure you've got an event or two to plug, so now's your chance.
Yeah, as usual, I know tickets at the moment for MKGT are currently all sold out, but keep an eye out on the social medias as we announce our next sponsor on Star Wars Day. UK Games Expo, obviously, it's literally a month today, I think it is, isn't it? So the format for that is on the Friday, the 31st of May, and the 1st and Saturday, the 1st, is a 6-round Swiss leading to a top 4 cut for the Sunday. So everyone's getting 6 games of Legion no matter what. And then if you make the top cut on Sunday, you get 4 more games to be the UK Games Expo champion. And I think there's also the weekend before that will be my monthly event in Milkeens, because apparently I don't plug them enough. So that will be the Saturday, the 25th of May. So it'd be good to see everyone. We had 20 tickets sold this month. It was a nice big jump, but up from March's and February's lower numbers. So it's good to see people back playing again, and hopefully we'll continue.
Yeah, and obviously MKGT sold out. But it'll be cool because we've got a fair few internationals coming over for that one, which is going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Going to be cool.
Mateusz
is bringing like an army. Like, no.
He's an army or an actual army of Polish
people? Both. Both.
Okay, cool. Yes.
I think he's... I'd have to double check the numbers, but I think he's bringing like 8 Polish people with him.
Just putting it out there, does that mean he's going to bottle it on the old drinking night again?
Oh, 100%.
100%, yeah.
Absolutely. Oscar will get tired and Mateusz will have to go home. such is life.
That said, until they go home at 8 p.m, they are still a good crack to come out with. So I look forward to when they come out because they're a good guy. They're all good guys. So
I love Mateusz.
My favourite line that Mateusz has ever said to me is in a pub in London on match day. Looks at me, and goes, "You know what, friend? I kill you." and I was like, "Thanks, mate."
Thing is, I believe him as well. What was I going to say? Yes, I know. Obviously, MKT is going to be fun. There'll be lots of us there. I'm currently trying to sort out getting an event going off in Colchester. It's just me and the store getting a date together between me being free and them being free and all this sorts of stuff. So keep that in mind if you're in the southeast of England. If you're not, still could try and travel, but it's all good. Rest assured, though, also that we will try and do a Patreon play in the north. But obviously to coordinate us all together to get traveling and have games is a little time consuming, so we'll try and do that, but we'll try and do that as a future thing, obviously for those who can't travel down to the south and things. LJ, any events you want to plug, mate? Other than, one, but I mean,
well, you know, I'll plug Critical Hit Games in Tampa, Florida, who are having an event on the 11th of May that I'm going to be attending, which is exciting. The community, they didn't do it for me, but I'll be able to meet a lot of them there. So I feel like a lot of them were like, "Hey, we're excited to see you." And for the people I haven't met, meet in person, which is super cool. It is an LVOIS event, which is awesome. I told Jordan, I was like, "I'm so excited to play this event, knock the rust off, and finally play some Legion." And he's like the second person that applies for a full qualifier for that event. I was like, "God damn it, Jordan, I just wanted to do something easy." And, you know, now I'm going to have to try because it's going to be an LVOIS event. You know, we've talked a lot, obviously, about Vegas 2025 and the dates. Again, the 16th and the 19th of January 2025. If you are curious about what events are part of the one of those 50 events that are part of the circuit right now, at the LVOIS.com website, there is a drop down that shows the events on a spreadsheet, which is, you know, you can look at the locations by country, province, state, etc. And there's also, we do have it up on a Google Calendar. I have actually talked to that to Jeff about that, about the LegionEvents.app and getting us coordinated with them. So that is something that I would like to do long term. And now that we kind of have our baseline ready to go, I do think that's something that's going to be very, 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 very possible. We had the tournament tracker and the events tracker as part of Team Relentless back in the day. And this is very similar to that effort. And of course, with a sexier UI, and I know some other integration that he's talked to me about that I think is going to be really cool. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the near term, like, we got ourselves on this and this just became our tracker instead of another tool like Perfect. Google Calendar. So yeah, this is it'll be a way for us to see just everything. And when you zoom around, you see that entire map is populated with events. That's going to be pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. And to quote a great man, I love it when a plan comes together. It's all good. I think that pretty much sums up the show, really. I did actually. I have one thing. I had Zane, because obviously Zane disappeared because of internet connection. This is what
he almost forgot. Zane.
He left something here. So I mean, I could try to do a Zane impression. Said, "I love you guys. It's great to see you, even if the event so briefly. I'll be back with better internet one day. Promise. Apologies. Much love to everyone listening. I also love seeing LJ back stateside. Come to Lone Star Open July 2021st. I'll be running it." Here's a question, LJ. It's completely not Legion related. Why do you guys say July 2021st and then everyone else in the world goes 21st of July, 20th of July, and the right so day, month, year, and you guys go month, day, year? Please, why?
You know, and Unfortunately, I feel like I'm not a great person to answer that, because when I write dates, I do write them in that style. Because of the military. So I will flip between both, and you'll see me say things like our way, quote unquote, and then I write dates in a way that frustrates people when I physically write them down, because they're like, well, wait a sec, what do those numbers mean? They're in the wrong order. So it's funny that you say that. I don't know why. I don't even know where the division came from in the history of our world versus that world. It's just one of those things that I wish the entire world could do it one way, so I wouldn't have to think about it.
It's like saying minutes, seconds, hours in the time. It's very strange. Anyway, I just had that in my head and I wanted to get that and clear it out. That's all. There we go. Andy, if people want to contact you, how can they do it, please?
If they want to reach out, they can do so as Talk Polite on the Legion Discord or the LVO Legion Events @gmail.com address for me specifically.
There you go. So say that. So LVO Legion Events. What was the ending? @gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
There you go. Mr. Dogman, where can people find you other than outside a no, I'm not going to say anything about it. Come on, where can they find you if they want to contact you about stuff?
Outside any street corner at 8 p.m. paying good money for dog meat.
Just for scram. you can find me on Discord as AGST or Facebook as Andrew Terrell. Or you can email me at andy@thatsnomoonpod.com.
Lovely.
Or is it podcast?
Podcast.
Podcast, sorry. Yeah. Ollie said it twice, two different times, and got it wrong both times. Apparently.
So, even if you're in the north or the south, it's podcast or podcast. It doesn't matter. Podcast.com, podcast.com. Does not matter. Ollie, obviously, if people want to contact you about sponsorship, and they can be anywhere in the world. It doesn't have to be UK. It can be US, France, Netherlands, Germany, Sweden, which we've got some Swedish stuff going out. Where can they contact you about sponsorship and or just to annoy you?
Honestly, so you can send me an email on Ollie, so that's OLLY, that's nomoonpodcast.com. I will pick up emails, or message me on the Discord, CBT3-thatsnomoon, or message our Facebook page, because we know Andy won't pick it up, so I definitely will.
Between you, me and Tom, it's like we see stuff. There we go. Tom, obviously, is Tom at thatsnomoonpodcast.com. You can send him ideas about videos. Here between him and Jack, they're sorting loads of content out. Obviously, one of our most recent videos has been Jack painting. He did a tutorial about how to paint faces, which was pretty handy because I'm rubbish at painting faces. He's also been painting something, and we won't announce it how we're going to give it away, but he's also been painting something to be given away. Yeah, you heard. So we're doing a giveaway soon. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. Ollie, Andy, and I have all seen it. And out of 10, how would you rate the painting of said item? The answer is 10. 10 out of 10, obviously. That's good enthusiasm.
On the Ollie scale, it's like a 1. far too much unnecessary time put into it. Would not bother.
Do you mean time and effort and quality?
Yeah, all the things that are just completely unnecessary.
There you go. So if you want to have, you might be able to win a model that Jack has painted, and he's painted it brilliantly. Then you can do that, or you can win a model that Ollie painted on. Instead, if you don't have to do that, you can just get a nosebleed, sneeze on it, and you are there. If you want to speak to me, I'm Cockles at thatsnomoonpodcast.com, anywhere on Facebook, social media, whatever it's called, Cockles Faulkner. You can message me as you can. If your name is Steve Fryer, who messaged me today to say, oh my God, you're going to Wayland. That'd be fun to see you and meet face to face. And I was like, yes, it will. So that's all good. That's it really. Other things to watch out for going forward. Obviously, LJ and Andy and Ollie, you took part in the charity American Football League thing that we did this year, the content creator one. I'm currently investigating into a format as to how to make it global with as many people we can to get involved, because a friend of mine does that, and he's done it for about 3-4 years, and he's raised 29 grand for a charity called the JTT. So I'm going to try and copy his format and try and get something going similar. So that's a project going on. And if you have any ideas about what you want us to do in terms of, I don't know, tournaments, games, videos, lists you'd like Andy, Ollie, or I to try and critique, you can contact us and we can do that. Or look into our Patreon, or you can join the community there, where we have a very active community, and I do mean very active community, who all rock, and they are willing to chat to you about anything from hobbying to Lego to other games and all this sorts of stuff. So yeah, go on there. Links will be in the description of the show. Other than that, I've been Cockles. This has been That's No Moon. LJ's been on the show. Say bye-bye, LJ.
We will see everybody in the future.
Exactly. And gents, say bye-bye, gents.
Bye-bye, gents. Bye.
Correct. Someone did it. Well done. Cheerio, everybody. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. To keep up to date with us, please like and follow us on Facebook, That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, and Instagram, That's No Moon podcast.